Hello, and welcome to Jazz Vignettes from the Hall. I am Fawn Fritzen. In this special series, music enthusiast Steve Gedrose explores the world of jazz from its roots to the present day. He breaks the fascinating, ever-evolving genre of jazz into easily digestible themes, backed up, of course, with plenty of music examples. In each episode, Steve will introduce you to musicians who were or are some of the key driving forces behind the evolution of jazz music. We recorded Steve's presentations live at the beautiful Old Fire Hall in downtown Whitehorse, Yukon. Annually, between October and April, Jazz Yukon presents 5 concerts as part of their Jazz in the Hall concert series. These events feature leading local jazz groups and are opened with a presentation by Steve, where he provides some background about the live music performed that evening. Welcome to episode 28 of our Jazz Vignettes. Steve calls this episode Jazz Roots, and explores traditional or Dixieland jazz from its emergence in the early part of the 20th century, from around 1917 to 1939. Trad jazz has its beginnings in the melting pot of New Orleans, Louisiana, based around the novel idea of collective improvisation. That is, each band member improvised their part as though each was soloing. As trad jazz gained popularity, it progressed to include individual soloists. The great Louis Armstrong, maybe the most famous and celebrated jazz performer in the world, was one of the first players to promote this style. Now here is jazz whiz Steve Gedrose to tell you more.
Hi everyone, welcome and thanks for coming to our final Jazz in the Hall for the 2016-17 season. We appreciate your support of live jazz in the Yukon. Tonight, we will feature Annie Avery's Hot Six Dixieland Project. Annie's theme for tonight's show is to honor traditional jazz, explore our Dixieland roots, and play some of the tunes that brought jazz into the world. Given that, I've put together some musical examples that observe the path that jazz has taken since its earliest days in New Orleans. We all understand that the port of New Orleans is a melting pot comprised of a gumbo of cultures. Many social groups, including the French, the Spanish, the Choctaw and Natchez Indians, as well as immigrants from the Balkan states, Germany, Ireland, Sicily, all inhabited the city. By 1860, 40% of the population was foreign-born. New Orleans was also the center of the southern slave trade. These various cultures brought their languages, their food, and of course their music. We have the brass and wind instruments from French military bands, the songs and dances from Europe, as well as the rhythm and field chants from the Caribbean and African slaves. When you add rural blues, as well as the sacred music from the Baptist church, we have the uniquely American music called jazz. Many of the early jazz groups were hired to play parades, funerals, parties, and dances. These were initially marching bands consisting of brass and reed instruments, banjos, and drums. With time, they morphed into stationary ensembles, now adding the string bass in place of the tuba and the piano, which of course is anything but portable. This instrumentation remains largely intact today. Dixieland music is all about collective improvisation, which you'll hear in this first sample. Classic or traditional jazz has more emphasis on individual solos. I'd like to begin with a number by the original Dixieland Jazz Band. This tune called Livery Stable Blues was copywritten and recorded in 1917 in New Orleans, making it the first jazz recording commercially released. In fact, the very word jazz seems to have appeared in this same time period. This record was a big hit and was likely the first popular music recording to sell 1 million copies. There is conjecture that the original Dixieland Jazz Band was the first to record because they were white. The band's instrumentation included drums, trombone, cornet, clarinet, and piano. So, Jim, this is number one, please. This is the Livery Stable Blues. This version comes from a compilation called the Original Dixieland Jazz Band, 1917 to 1936. Thank you. Stable blues, and yes, there were a lot of horses in New Orleans during this period. The popularity of these early recordings, combined with the racism, prejudice, and violence that surfaced against the Creole and African American population in New Orleans, caused many jazz musicians to leave, moving north to the major centers like Chicago and New York. Jazz musicians who chose to move upriver to Chicago quickly lost the primitive sound that came from New Orleans. Jazz became polite, directed at the white middle-class audiences who frequented the dance halls in Chicago. Early Chicago jazz music was performed in black neighborhoods, and the white enthusiasts had to go to these areas to hear it. As jazz grew in popularity, particularly among this middle-class white population, the clubs became segregated. There were separate clubs for African-American and white audiences. The music that played in Negro clubs was faster and wilder than the jazz played in predominantly white dance halls, but even the jazz in these black clubs was tame in comparison to that of New Orleans. Joe King Oliver is the best example of the shift in style that occurred when musicians moved north. King Oliver's Creole jazz band was highly successful in New Orleans and was known for their exuberant playing and perfect balance between the instruments. The next example is a track from King Oliver's group. He was an American jazz cornet player and band leader. He was particularly recognized for his playing style and his pioneering use of mutes on his cornet. He was the mentor and teacher of the great Louis Armstrong. His influence was such that Armstrong claimed, "If it had not been for Joe Oliver, jazz would not be what it is today." Oliver moved north to Chicago in early 1918. A few years later, in 1922, Louis Armstrong joined him and played second cornet in his band. This track is called Dipper Mouth Blues. It's a song first recorded by King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band for Gennett Records in April 1923 and for OK Records in June of that same year. It is most often attributed to Joe King Oliver. It was argued by some that Louis Armstrong was in fact the composer. This is partly because Dipper Mouth was one of Armstrong's many nicknames. The song is a strong example of the influence of the blues on early jazz. This is a 12-bar blues harmonic progression with frequent bent notes and slides into notes. Armstrong plays second cornet on the April 6, 1923 recording, with Honoré Dutré on trombone, Johnny Dodds on clarinet, Lil Hardin, who later became Lil Armstrong, on piano, Baby Dodds on the drums, and Bill Johnson on banjo and vocals. Oliver's plunger mute solo on cornet became one of the most frequently imitated solos of his generation. So this is number two, please, Jim. This is a little bit of Dipper Mouth Blues. Thank you. Peppermouth Blues by Joe Oliver. Potato Head Blues is a Louis Armstrong composition regarded as one of his finest recordings. Armstrong made this track on May 10th, 1927 for OK Records in Chicago. It was recorded during a remarkably productive week in which Armstrong's usual Hot Five, which included cornet, trombone, clarinet, piano, and a player who doubled on banjo and guitar, was temporarily expanded to seven players with the addition of tuba and drums. The recording features notable clarinet work by Johnny Dodds, and the stop time solo chorus in the last half remains one of Armstrong's most famous solos. On this track, we hear Louis as a featured solo voice, kind of breaking away from the collective improvisation so common in Dixieland. These early recordings of his Hot Five and Hot Sevens raised the bar for instrumentalists. His scat singing and relaxed vocal phrasing influenced Bing Crosby and all other vocalists as well. Of course, Armstrong went on to have a legendary career, recording for over 45 years. He was renowned for success exporting jazz to the rest of the world. He remains an extremely important figure in the history of this music. This is number three, please, Jim. This is the Potato Head Blues, as recorded by Louis Armstrong's Hot Seven in 1927. Potato Head Blues. I should mention that these were all done in one take. There was no do-overs. The dynamics and the balance just came from the band. They had Louis way at the other end of the room because he played so loud. But it just works out remarkably well. I'm always amazed when I hear that. Another very influential player in these early days of jazz was the talented clarinetist and soprano sax player Sidney Bechet. Bechet was born in New Orleans in 1897 to a middle-class Creole family. He quickly learned to play several musical instruments, mostly by teaching himself. He soon decided to specialize on clarinet. At the age of 6, Sidney started playing along with his brother's band at a family birthday party, debuting his talents to much acclaim. In 1922, he was in London and he discovered the straight soprano saxophone and quickly developed a style quite unlike his warm, reedy clarinet tone. His saxophone sound could be described as emotional, reckless, and large. He played with a very broad vibrato, similar to what was common for some New Orleans clarinetists at the time. Sidney built a huge sound that could easily compete with the brass. At times, he even used a steel reed in his mouthpiece, if you can imagine. That's just amazing to me. In 1925, Bechet sailed to France in a troupe that included the legendary entertainer Josephine Baker. He stayed there until 1928, when he was deported back to the States. Prior to leaving France, he was jailed for 11 months in Paris when a woman passerby was wounded during a shootout. The most common version of this story, and there are quite a few versions, this was related in Ken Burns' jazz documentary. He reported that the initial shootout started when another musician slash producer told Bechet that he was playing the wrong chord. Bechet challenged the man to a duel and said, "Sidney Bechet never plays a wrong chord." This is typical of the tumultuous life that he lived. He evolved into one of the most acclaimed improvisers in this music, probably the first notable jazz saxophonist. He was often referred to as an instrumental peer and competitor to Louis Armstrong, and is considered among the four most influential jazz musicians during the music's first 50 years. I'd like to give you a sample of Bechet's version of George Gershwin's Summertime. Summertime is an aria composed in 1934 for the 1935 opera Porgy and Bess, and is sung several times throughout the show. The lyrics are by Du Bois Heyward, the author of the novel Porgy, on which the opera was based. It is described as one of the finest songs that Gershwin ever wrote. This is supported by the fact that there are over 25,000 recordings of this wonderful song. So this is number 4, please, Jim. This is Summertime, issued on a Sidney Bechet 78 RPM record on Blue Note Records. The band includes Sidney Bechet soprano saxophone, Mead Lux Lewis piano, Teddy Bunn guitar, Johnny Williams bass, and Sid Catlett at the drums. This very bluesy version was recorded in New York City on June 8th, 1939. Thank you. goes Sidney Bechet. It's been a challenge to boil this history down to a few short minutes, but my hope is that these music samples set the stage for Annie's band's performance this evening. Thank you very much.
This presentation by Steve Gedros was recorded in April 2017. We still have time today to include another two tracks. You may not be surprised to learn that both tracks are written and performed by Maestro Louis Armstrong, backed by his band, The Hot Five. First is Muskrat Ramble, followed by Cornet Chop Suey. It's no surprise, either, that jazz historians marvel at the genius of Armstrong's improvisations and credit him with laying the groundwork for the entire history of Dixieland jazz. Thank you. This program was made possible by Jazz Yukon. Jazz Yukon is a volunteer organization that promotes and presents jazz in the Yukon through an annual integrated program of live jazz presentations and jazz education outreach. This episode was researched, written, and presented by Steve Gedrose. Live recording by Jim Holland. Script edits by David Sillery. Dieter Gade is our producer, and I am Fawn Fritzen. Thank you for listening.